Boasting is our subject tonight. I'd like you to meditate with me. Honestly, I have it in my spirit, but I don't know my words yet or how it's going to go. So this is a real faith message. And they always are, actually. And they're the best ones. Yeah. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Christmas time. We have our homes open. We talk to our neighbors and our relatives, and it's so easy to boast. And boasting is a big part of life for people. Boasting in many different ways. So I want you to... I had two things. The Afghan Refugee Project. This is Pastor Taggart, Farshad and Afruz, Gordon, Colby, Liam McHale, myself. We are really interested in the Afghan Christian. There's a group of Christians, 275 of them, who left Afghanistan when the Taliban took over. And these are Christians whose lives were in jeopardy. And Pastor Obed in Canada arranged for their escape. He told us they received a phone call at 1 in the morning their time to leave their house immediately and go to this place 10 hours away, an airfield, and fly out. I mean, they took nothing. I mean, you know. They ended up in the United Arab Emirates, and they are there now in holding. And Pastor Obed is asking if we would help sponsor them to come to our country. And it's many ways, I would say, it's obvious, like, what we should do. It may require some money. It does. But that's not a problem. Maybe when they land, some housing, but the government is going to help them with that and other things. But there's a need for families in our church to pray about it, think about it, and see what kind of a commitment you'd like to make to that work. Because I think it means... I don't know, but this is our prayer, that Afghans would be here in our church. Maybe we would have an Afghan service or an Afghan church here in Baltimore. Who knows? I don't know. But I'm asking the church here to pray about it. We don't have a lot of time by the end of January. We have to make our application for each one. There is already a church in South Dakota that has picked up a bunch of them. So there is a bunch of people that are in waiting. And I would love to be part of the solution. To what degree, I don't know. So there'll be a meeting in classroom two with some, you're going to ask questions. There'll be some of these men will be there to answer. And we'll talk about it. I think the big thing for us is just prayer. And what would you be interested? I read here that the application is $575 per person. That's a humanitarian parole application. There's some other liabilities, so it would mean individuals in our church would be interested in sponsoring. And somehow being a place, I wouldn't say they would land in your house, but maybe land in your backyard or garage. I don't know. Those questions can be asked tonight in classroom too. So prayer and see what we can do and if God is in that. The second thing is some of the guys with their sons and grandsons are going to go to the woods Saturday from 10 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. at Binks and Abby Lange's house in Glen Arm Road to collect firewood and to hang out in the woods, to be guys in the woods. So if you're a father or a grandfather, you want to bring your son or grandson or granddaughter, and actually the ladies, if you want to come, just kind of put a mustache on and flannel shirt and come. No, I think you're welcome too. So it'll be like a family time up there with the family. If you have questions about that, you can meet them over here, Isaac Woods and Binks Lange over here to the left after the service. Okay, so let's do our message now after all of that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this, I think this will be half the message, then we'll do the offering, and then we'll do the other half. Okay. Chapter 1, in verse 30, no, 29, that's where we should start. No flesh should glory in his presence. I've noticed in myself how I can glory in myself. We all do it. I can glory in the things that I own. I think Craig Mann back there, Craig Mann, he's one of the faithful guys. He's got this slick Toyota convertible. And I've noticed how much he enjoys it. He pulls into the parking lot. He does a couple spins around the parking lot and parks it. What could you glory in? As a person, what builds up your ego? What gives you some notification or some value to yourself, to your life? It's so common how much we do that. And there's a lot of good reason, in a sense, because we've been treated so good by God, whether that's your health or your job or where you live or some other thing, it's so easy to glory in these things. We can talk about our past like this, our successes. We can talk about the certain kind of levels or progress report that it might happen in my life, and might say, in my heart. I think Christmas is a bit like that. I love the holiday. I love the fact that people in the world pay attention, at least to some degree, of what God has done, that God sent Christ, that God came here, that God is incarnated in Christ. When the wise men came to see him and then they left, what do you think they gloried in when they left the manger and they saw him? But they could say, we saw him. We saw him. Him, we saw him. When we see the work of God, like many of us have, it sticks to us in our hearts. And we just say, and many of you have heard us say it, the early days or days in Maine or in Lenox or on the mission field or some Spirit of God that moved with some people and they just couldn't get enough of God. They talked about God in the late night. Remember Pastor Steve Duff, who was the pastor in Baltimore before we came down, and he was in Russia, St. Petersburg. And I remember the spirit of revival and the spirit of God in the raps that he did, and he would talk about it today like it was yesterday, because it was something God did. The works of the Lord are sought out by all them that have pleasure therein, in Psalm 11. We have seen it. We talk about it. Actually, when we come here, our whole heart and mind is geared to him. Like when we're worshiping tonight, we've had a long day, as some of you coming right from work or home and making dinner and throwing the dishes in the sink and getting in the car and coming. Why? We want to glory in him. I want to see him. I want to speak about him. I need something. Because Christmas is coming, and of course it applies to every time of year. But when our neighbors come, do they want to see our bathroom or swimming pool or our living room or our new deck? Or when neighbors come, do they want to know what your best soup is or your best cake? Or they want to know how good you look or how sweet you smell? Yes. Yes, that's what happens. How good your kids are, or maybe not. We really glory in our flesh. We really do. And so we're going to speak about that tonight. I think it's the Holy Spirit that maybe wants to say something to us. Because we are very, in America, we are very, like, social status and conscious of who has what and also how are you doing and all of these things. But we have been delivered. We are different. We don't need to talk about ourselves. We don't need to boast in those things. And much of the boasting is actually not honest. It's taking a thing and putting a spin on it the best we can to make the best impression or to lead people to believe a certain way. And I would say many of you in this auditorium maybe don't, in a way, you don't really need to hear the message, but you do. Because whether it's in a big degree or a small degree, it's in us. Consciousness of people. What people think. Consciousness of ourselves. And what we think and how we may present ourselves. Again, let me say, I see spirit-filled people. I see people loving Jesus, and they are so ready in their heart to talk on those levels, and as soon as possible say to their neighbor, you know, this is a beautiful place and I'm very thankful for it, but may I share with you the deepest thing, the most important thing in my life, that thing that changed my life, that person. Nobody less than God himself, the God of the universe, who loves you and is real. This conversation is for some people awkward because we are more prone to these things in our society and our world. But I would say, I would guess that in time, you're going to become a communicator of what is in your heart very naturally and very easily. And when you look at your words and what you say, you are boasting in the Lord. You are really boasting in the Lord because it's in you. You love God. It's in you. You boast in him. You look for it, you can do it, you say it, it might not be a big sounding trumpet. It's just a whisper that comes from your heart. Listen, believe me, if I have anything, you know, and on it goes, you see what I'm trying to say. Go to the next verse, please. Chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. So you are in Christ Jesus. This is big. This is big potatoes right there. That's huge. This is a huge statement. You are in Christ Jesus. When I came to church this morning to teach the high school at 10, I parked in the parking lot and I just spent the hour with my Bible in the front seat with prayer and just crying out to the Lord in my heart, Jesus, help me with this class. Help me teach the kids. Help me speak from your heart. Give me a message. Help me minister. And then for the whole day. And I actually feel people are praying for me. I also feel that that Holy Spirit is the only one that could ever do any of this, that could speak to a heart, comfort a soul. You know, Sandy Lightsey and Pastor Dan, who passed on the other day, and I talked to her on the phone, and I think about her, and called Sue Williams up last night and talked with her. And these are precious people, and I just think there's not much time for any of us. 10 years, we're passing on. In this life, we are boasting in God. Isn't that amazing? Let's read the verse 30. It says, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. These four words. I've always wondered why he had these four words. But it sounds like these are the words that have really changed our lives. These are the words that have set us apart. These are the words that mark us different from the world. These are the words that the world cannot get their hands on them. They don't care about them. But these are the words that we boast in. These are the words that give us understanding. These are the words that help us in humility and realize who we are and what we have that has come from God. Verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I think I'll do the whole message, so that's part one. Now turn to 2 Kings 19. And we have a good example of this in Hezekiah. Hezekiah was an awesome king of Israel, of Judah, and he overcame an amazing army of Assyrians. I'll draw a short little map here. Here is Israel. This is Jordan River, Dead Sea, Jerusalem. And the Assyrians come down from the north, and then they take the northern kingdom away into captivity, and they never return. The Assyrians come back later to take Jerusalem, and they surround Jerusalem, and they say, we are going to take you. Huge army. Hezekiah prayed, and they left. The army was destroyed one night. The people left. They went back to Assyria. Went back up here. A neighboring kingdom, Babylon, which at that time was smaller, they heard about it. They heard about, number one, the military victory of Hezekiah. They heard about the military victory, and number two, they heard that Hezekiah was sick and was going to die, but he was healed. Two things that Hezekiah could say in his heart: I am a great man, I am a great king, God has given me great deliverance, a great empire could not defeat us, God is with us, God delivered us. Number two, he could say, I was sick, I was going to die. And then I prayed to God, he heard me, and he told me I would have 15 more years. I would have 15 more years. That's a great thing to think. I'm going to live 15 more years. So he was strong, he was confident, and he was also ready to boast. He was ready to say, this is what God did for me, and actually, I have a lot to show for it. I have treasure. When the Babylonians came, they sent a delegation to check it out, to see who Hezekiah really was, and to check out his treasure. Hezekiah showed him all the treasure. This is 2 Kings 20. And verse 12. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, all the house of his armor, and all was that was found in the treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. I think Hezekiah was a man of God, and he is under the eyesight of God. And God is like, God is listening to Hezekiah and watching Hezekiah. And Hezekiah is boasting. Hezekiah, he is saying, look at what I have. Look at my kingdom. We defeated the Assyrians. The Babylonians were very interested in that because they are going to attack Assyria in the near future. But they're also going to remember what they saw, and they're going to come back. They're going to attack Judah. They're going to take everything away to Babylon in a matter of time. But that's not the point as much as Hezekiah's spirit or mind. Babylonians come to check it out. And what would you say? What would you say if you were Hezekiah to the Babylonians? First of all, the Babylonians are pagans. They're idolaters. You could say to the Babylonians, what are the names of your gods? They would give the names, and you would say what? Oh, the Assyrians came with those gods, but our God, the God of the Jews, overcame the Assyrians. And all your gods are nothing in the light of our God, for our God created heaven and earth. Would you say that? Somebody would say, it would be rude, impolite, be hospitable, identify with them, like be like them, be like the Babylonians, like be like them. And then you can also brag about your different, brag about things or boast. No, I want to boast in God. I want to talk about him. I want to say he did it. And they could say, Hezekiah, we heard you were sick. And he would say, yes, I was. But I prayed to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He heard me. He gave me 15 more years to live. What do you mean? Yes. He told me by the prophet Isaiah, who is a man of God. He told me I will live 15 more years. It will happen because God said it. If you and I have a message where we can boast in God, then we should say it. We should share it. Because I'll tell you something. It's one way to be protected in an evil world. If you give your message out and you are boasting in God, Jesus said, I will profess you before the angels. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before the angels. And of course, I've always wondered what that, like we have wondered maybe, what does that mean? But I kind of think in my life, angels help me because I do not deny him. I think if I boast in him, there's some spiritual blessing, maybe protection. I will not be like the Babylonians because I've already made it clear. They are different. We are different. We are Jews. Our God is a God of Abraham. Our God delivered us from the Assyrians. Our God made us wealthy. How did you get wealthy? Our God made us wealthy. How come you're physically fit? God made us physically fit. We have followed God. How come you don't have, I don't smoke cigarette? Why don't you? Because God said, or however you would say it. I don't know how you would say it. But please, think about what I'm saying. I honestly think, without sounding weird, in your heart, when you go to bed at night, I honestly believe that you know God is helping you. And that God has given you a lot in your life. Why not boast in the Lord all the day long in Psalm 44? Is it? Or Psalm 32, 1. Boast in the Lord all day long. How do you love your church? Oh, I love my church. Why would you love your church? Because of God. God is in the church. God is with us. Isn't it beautiful? It's mingled with humility, of course. It's rooted in humility. Our boasting in the Lord is rooted in our spirit, in our hearts. Because in prayer, this is where we live. In prayer, we come before God like without much at all, but with empty hands. And we say in our prayer, Lord, you have given me life. You have taken care of me. You have covered me with your wings. You have put your spirit in me. You helped me. You have filled me with the spirit when I was tempted. You delivered me from sin. You have forgiven me of my sins. You've given me friends. You've given me fellowship. I have a word in season. Sometimes there's a word of wisdom or word of in season that is just fresh. That is for us because you are the living God that talks to us and gives us words of life, holding forth the word of life, Paul said. But contrarily, maybe, because we boast in ourselves, then we don't see the glory of God. We see the glory of Tom. The glory of Tom. The glory of me, or the glory of this, you know. Have you ever been with people that talk all day long about their cars? The cars, or the machines, or computers, or COVID, or whatever, all day long. What is the point of it? Is there something boasting in my heart? Get attention. Do you know who I am? What I am saying? where I got this information, what I know, and so on. Yes, of course, we have all done it. I'm not saying it's like, I'm not saying, I just think this is a good thought tonight for us, that we could be aware of it and then just maybe stop the boasting in me and just shift in my heart to him. Lastly, in the Christmas story, it seems like that's what it's about. The angels are singing. They can't believe it. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I mean, this is it. You guys are so fortunate. The angels could say to the world, you guys are so, it's unbelievable what God has done for you to redeem you. Who is God that he would do such a thing, right? Then you have the shepherds. They're excited, not about their sheep, but about him. And they're talking to everybody about it. Then there's Mary and Joseph, who are just pulled into this, led into it. And all the time, Mary is pondering, like thinking about it. And her boast is what? What God has done. The wise men, Anna, Simeon, in the temple, and then you and I. It is Christmas season, and we have an opportunity to boast a lot in God. We'll have it all year round, all of our lives. I want to say this. This is a great thought. What if, this is just a question, what if all my life I was boasting in what Jesus has done, what Jesus has said, what Jesus is doing, what Jesus has promised, what Jesus has taught? What if all my life it was like Jesus is in my heart by the Holy Spirit? I might be a quiet person, but in my heart, I know who Jesus is and what he has done for me and my family and my friends and what he's done for my church. What if all my life was like, it seems to me, no flesh can glory in his presence. That's what we do here. We boast in our flesh. Where's his presence? Where's his presence? It's not here. But what if we know him in faith and boast in him, and we talk about him, we think about him? Here's a good thought, too. How about you and your Bible and taking some time and having those personal times and really feeding and really digging into the Word and being quiet and trusting and just being lighthearted and thankful and simple, and some revival to happen in your spirit and in your heart. And then you meet others that have the same thing happening, and we have like a revival that is happening in the spirit in the church, and we're boasting all day long. We're boasting in him, and that becomes our way of life. No glory, no flesh can glory in his presence, but we do a lot of it glorying in him. And he has given us his presence. His angels are there. His anointing is there. That's what it is, the anointing. It's about him. The anointing is there. The freedom is there. The joy is there. And the eating of spiritual food. And that's what satisfies us. And lastly, this is the last one. Somebody mentioned it to me the other night. He said, when we are filled with the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of our flesh. And that stuck to him, and as he said it, it stuck to me. I thought about it. If I am Spirit-filled, I lose those desires of boasting in my flesh or the desires of my flesh to make a big deal out of myself. You lose that. And now it's like more, where is he? What is he saying? How much does he love us? And then as you go to the homeless or the needy, or you're in your house in your prayer and you think about a relative far away, you haven't written to them for years, maybe you shoot off a letter and say a word to them to reach out. That's Christmas. Not an ordinary Christmas of like the patterns and the routines and the busyness of it, as that is part of life maybe for you. And I'm not saying anything against it, only adding to this thought, and that is reaching with love and boasting in him. Put yourself away. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Let's boast in him all the day long. Hey, okay? Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? There are people that boast like that in their crime or their perversions, their flesh. But how about us? Yes. Father, we thank you for these words tonight in this assembly. And it wouldn't it be amazing, Lord, if we would be able to boast in you and say, oh, no, may I, sir, thank you so much for the compliment. Thank you so much. You're very kind to say that. But may I make it so clear to you that there's more to it. I have prayed to God, the God of heaven and earth, and he has heard my prayer. And he has helped me. He has helped me. He has helped me. He has helped me, and he will do the same for you. Yes, we have been blessed in so many ways in our church. Yes, oh God, thank you so much. We are thankful, but oh no. Do not misunderstand this. Do not misunderstand it. It's by his great grace through his Son that if we have anything of any value, it came from him. He did it. He is saving souls. He is helping. He is answering. He is healing. He is teaching us. He is leading us even unto death. Yes, he is our God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Teach us, God, and lead us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then anyone here listening, would you please come to Jesus tonight? He is for you, and he loves you, and he's the real God. He's a very humble God. He is very humble. He is the humblest of all. He is the God who is meek and lowly. And notice him. He's not pushing. He's not manipulative. He's giving you a whole life to recognize him. Now you must come to him and before him in faith and say to Jesus, I need you. Save me. Give me this eternal life. Help me. Save me. Forgive me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.